How you doing, everybody? This is Alex Deser. I played Julio Mendez on the original Flash TV series, and I'm Nick Fury in the Marvel Animated Universe. And you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Of motion, the sultan of speed, the wizard of whiz, oh yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat, beat the speed of light and you can't beat that. The Flash,
the Flash, the Flash,
meet the mighty Flash,
the Flash, the Flash,
in a fight he'll smash and crash, smash a whole gang of crooks or schnooks. Hey, he'll just clobber any kind of bad guy, thief or robber, the world's fastest. Yeah, man, the Flash,
the unbeatable Flash, the undefeatable Flash.
Oh, yeah, swing it, baby. That is what I'm talking about. Nothing like a little music to set the mood. Welcome, one and all, to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. It is finally here. You are in the right place at the right time for Flashback, Flash Forward February on Comic Book Central. All month long, I'm going to be bringing you episodes centered around the Scarlet Speedster, the fastest man alive from the world of DC Comics, The Flash. Each week this month, I'm going to be sitting down with an amazing talent from the television world of The Flash. That's right, past and present. This week, it's a flashback to the 1990 television series. Joining me in just a few moments, the man who stood by John Wesley Shipp's Barry Allen at the CCPD as police scientist Julio Mendez, actor Alex Deser. He is going to be here in the lair. But first, a reminder for everyone listening out there, you do not want to miss a moment of the action headed your way with Flashback, Flash Forward February. And the best way you can get a front row seat to the lair, that is by subscribing to the show in iTunes. Subscribe in iTunes, leave a review if you like what you're hearing. That always helps. You can search for the show at iTunes, but an easier way is to head to the website, comicbookcentral.net. You're going to find all the links you need there, a link to subscribe in iTunes, to like the show on Facebook, to follow it on Twitter. They're all there. You're also going to find a link where you can click. It's the Signal Me tab. Send me an email. Let me know what's on your mind. All episodes are also on Blueberry and Stitcher. So if you don't use iTunes, they're on those services as well. They're also streaming in the archive at the website, comicbookcentral.net. If you're new to the show, welcome. Glad to have you on board. Perfect time to get going here with Flashback, Flash Forward February. Not the first time The Flash has been represented here on Comic Book Central. If you haven't heard some of the past episodes yet, then after today's episode, you're going to want to flash back and check out the following Flash-centric episodes that we've had here on the show. Episode 2, all the way back, almost to the beginning, Michael Rosenbaum. Now, we know him as Lex Luthor on Smallville. He also played the heroic side, too. He was the Flash on the Justice League animated series. Episode 74, from the wild and wacky Legends of the Superheroes show back in the 70s, Rod Haas. He had his turn in the spandex. Talk to him about that as well. Episode 93, that was part 2 of my adventure at Terrificon in Connecticut. That episode features my Q&A with the Flash from the 1990 television series, John Wesley Shipp. Just a few episodes later, in episode 96, my in-depth interview with John Wesley Shipp. You're going to want to check those out. And of course, episode 106, the man who put words into John Wesley Shipp's mouth, Howard Chaykin. He wrote some of the best episodes of the 1990 series. So all those are out there. So glad you could join me for Flashback, Flash Forward February. And so glad my special guest is here with us today. Check this out. And I'm going to be back in a flash with Alex Deser. Born and raised in New York City, Alex Deser graduated from the School of Performing Arts. That is the school that inspired the 1980 flick Fame. He relocated to LA and has been appearing regularly on our TV screens and on movie screens ever since. His first big break in Hollywood was on the short-lived CBS series TV 101. A year later, Alex was back on the Tiffany Network, entrenched in the world of DC superheroes when CBS launched a live-action version of The Flash. As police scientist Julio Mendez, Alex worked alongside John Wesley Shipp's Barry Allen at the CCPD, investigating those strange goings-on in Central City. Would Julio ever find out Barry was the Scarlet Speedster? We may never know, as the series was stopped in its tracks by a rogues gallery of random scheduling, preemptions, and The Simpsons' El Barto. But Alex used the high-profile platform to springboard into numerous acting roles, including parts in Swingers and High Fidelity, and of course, 6 seasons opposite Ted Danson in the CBS hit Becker. From in front of the camera to behind the mic, Alex has quickly become a go-to voice in the world of animated series and video games. You can hear his work in Tomb Raider games, LeBron James' animated series, The LeBrons, and in the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, Alex gave the orders as Nick Fury, director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, my guest today is a crime fighter in both the DC and Marvel TV universes. In the 90s, he operated out of the Central City PD as police scientist Julio Mendez on The Flash. And he's also the voice of Nick Fury in the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. He is also an accomplished musician, a big Comic Book Central welcome to Alex Desaire. Alex, welcome to the show.
Yay!
He's here!
He made it!
I've been talking about you with John Wesley Shipp. It's like, finally, I get to talk to you.
Are you enjoying it so far?
I'm having a blast so far. This is great. Look, The Flash is one of my favorite shows. And like, I love... First of all, the current one is number one in our DVR, so that's that. But man, did I love me some flashback in the 90s.
Yeah, actually, the new incarnation too, and it is on my DVR. I actually got to watch this week's.
It's a great show. You have a vested interest in it. Look, okay, should we address the elephant in the room right off the bat?
Yeah, let's go for it, man.
Okay, all right. John Wesley Shipp,
mm-hmm.
Amanda Pays,
yep.
Mark Hamill,
right.
Vito D'Ambrosio. Alex Desaire?
Ellipses?
Alex Desaire. When are you going to show up on this show? Come on.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out myself, Jack. You know, if there's a campaign that's going to be started, I'm with it. Let's go.
Oh, you've had to have a call or something. There had to be something had to have happened at some point. Your people talked to their people.
Yeah, I know at one point Kreisberg said that I'm definitely always in his mind.
Okay, this is producer Andrew Kreisberg.
Yeah.
He's got some pull.
Yeah, he might know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Look, Julio and Cisco in the lab.
Yeah, man, that would be awesome.
What could be better than that?
You know what I always loved about when I did The Flash when we were doing it? I always laugh because every time you see Julio, he's eating something.
Is that intentional?
Yeah, I think it just happened. And so I always looked at it, I was like, wow. I'm eating another burrito, and then I go, hey, where'd he go? Which was basically, it was a blast. So.
Did you have stuff squirreled away on the set, or was that written into the show? Like, why were you always eating something?
Yeah, some of it was written in, and then I think it just became a thing.
Oh, okay, so it was like kind of running gag kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about, what do you think about the new show?
Oh, I love it. I think it's great. I mean, the casting, I think, is just right. And there's a certain way, what I really appreciate is there's a certain reverence in it. And at the same time, there's a great amount of levity about it.
Yeah. They're really referencing your show.
Yeah.
Tons. I mean, even I think, the Q&A that I ran with John, he mentioned about, Danny Bilson and Paul DeMeo, the showrunners on your show, that they might be writing an episode coming. And I know you can't say anything. I know that. We go into this. We know this. Can you say anything? Can you give us something?
Honestly, I wish I had something to say.
All right.
That's the truth.
Okay.
Like I said, let's make it happen, folks.
Okay. Well, it has to happen. Everybody's been on. Look, Belzer's probably going to be on it at some point.
He's going to come in from France. And, you know, it's funny, too, though, because, you know, on Twitter, you know, I have some, you know, there are a bunch of fans on Twitter. And, well, Alex, when are you going to be on? I'm like, I don't know. And then I remember throwing something out where I was saying how I wouldn't mind playing Nightshade, which was a character that we had.
Oh, that.
Yeah, who was like an original vigilante back in the day. All of a sudden, next thing I know, all these people are like, Alex, Deadly Nightshade, when's it going to happen? I was like, whoa, I was just playing around for a couple of minutes. But so, yeah.
Like maybe somebody that had looked back on Jason Bernard's character, because there was even like that. That was almost an episode there where somebody was imitating him in an episode, sequel to that. Boy, that's a great idea.
That would be fun. Because I actually
have you pitched that to either Kreisberg or maybe even Bilson and DeMeo?
Maybe it's time to.
Okay, so you haven't yet, but you're okay. All right.
Yeah.
Look, it would be amazing. Okay, let's take the current Flash show out of the mix.
Okay.
I'm going to give you your choice. A role in any comic book themed movie or television show. What are you taking? And you can't pick the current Flash, because we know you're going to be on it eventually. So that's a given.
Right.
So that you're already on it. We know that it's going to happen. Anything else? What are you picking?
Oh, wow. That's on. That's out right now.
Or coming up. Maybe it's in production. Maybe it's.
You know what? I wouldn't.
In the planning stages. Do you have a favorite character that you'd like to play?
Oh, wow. Shoot, you know, here's a funny thing. As a kid, one of my favorite characters was Nightcrawler from X-Men, but I'm not German.
Well, you're an actor.
Yeah, right.
You can't.
I wouldn't mind seeing what's going on with the Black Panther movie. I'm actually excited about all the Marvel movies coming out.
Okay, of everything that's coming out, that may be the one that I'm most excited about. I love Captain America and The Flash. Those are like my two favorites. But I saw what they're doing with this Black Panther movie and the little tidbits that they dropped in the Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited about this.
Yeah. Well, I think what I appreciate about all of this is how, you know, the way it's coming out, it's like, we're going to give you a little tease right here.
Yeah, yeah.
And just enough to keep you salivating. All right. We're going to tease you a little bit more, even like watching Ant-Man and everything.
Yeah.
That was setting everything up was just great. And, you know, honestly, it makes me feel like a little 10-year-old again.
Oh, that's we say that all the time. I mean, it's that nostalgia factor. We kind of go back. Now, how realistic is it? I mean, what do you do? Do you put the feelers out? Do you use your agent contact, like Marvel people? And do you say, look, I love anything in this? Is that?
Yep.
Okay, so has that happened?
Talk to the managers. Yeah, and we put the feelers out and see what happens.
Yeah, oh, that'd be great if we could see you, in the Marvel Universe, and we'll talk about your time in the Marvel Universe too. As we go, look,
confused.
But that's the coolest part is you get a foot in both worlds.
Yeah,
and that's the glory of voiceover work too. We'll talk a little bit about that. Look, I'm looking over your bio. I noticed something quite interesting and awfully familiar. I've appreciated the musical stylings of Mr. Paul Williams from a very early age.
Everybody wants that man, Bugsy Malone.
Tell me, give our listeners a little bit of background, your background with the music of Paul Williams.
Okay.
This kind of kickstarted everything for you, didn't it?
Yeah. It was one of the factors. I mean, all right, so I grew up a poor black man in New York City. No. So as a child, my mother...
I'm just hearing Steve Martin's voice.
You got references, we're going to throw them out everywhere.
Just keep up, folks.
Stay tuned, folks. Try the veal. So as a kid, I grew up in New York, and I lived in Queens, but I always went to school in Manhattan. So I had to take a bus to a train, and from the train, I'd go into the city, and then I'd get off where my school is, and then my mother would take the train to Brooklyn to where she worked. And then after school, I'd have to wait for her at the Donnell Public Library, which is no longer there. I am an old man.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. And so, you know, in between trying to steal books or drawing in books, I'd go to the music section. And I'd always pull out the Bugsy Malone soundtrack. And I must have listened to that thing every day. And I'd look at the cover and I'd see, you know, all the, I don't know if, you know, Bugsy Malone is genius. And I'd look at the pictures of, like, you know, Scott Baio and Jodie Foster and, you know, And I'd go, wow, I want to be that. I want to do that. I want to act. And then I'd listen to the music over and over and over. And I think, I don't even think I saw the movie until I was older.
This is like an all-kid version of a gangster's movie from, what are we going to say, late 20s, 30s maybe?
Yeah.
What was it, like you saw it, but you didn't, you can't hear it, you haven't seen it. What was it appeal, just all the kids,
all the
artwork?
Kids. All the kids on the artwork with these great machine guns that shot eyes at you.
It's a great poster.
Yeah. And the songs were just catchy as heck too. And, you know, it's funny because you're talking about Paul Williams and, you know, I grew up in, you know, this is the 70s and 80s. And to think like Paul Williams was just everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then I do remember actually seeing the movie and tripping out because basically it's the kids lip syncing to Paul Williams, which is even more, it'll mess with your mind.
Yeah, he even said that because he thought, I think he even second guessed that. I think they were running up, no pun intended, against the gun here, or under the gun. But I think it was like he was sending them songs almost as they were shooting.
Wow.
And they didn't really have time to go back and redo them with kids. So I think he kind of second guessed that later. But hey, look, he got an Academy Award nomination out of it.
Yeah.
Something went right. But it is a little off-putting when you watch the film and there's this kid at the piano and he turns around. It's Paul Williams' voice.
Well, I remember being, the one that freaked me out too? Kind of tangent. What was it, Phantom of the Paradise?
Right before that. I think another Academy Award nomination too.
Yeah, but I remember seeing those posters. And as a little kid, that is one of the most frightening posters.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, once again, love Paul Williams, but there was a little, gzz, gzz, you know, every time I think of Paul Williams, because I think of Bugsy Malone, but then I think of Phantom of the Paradise, and then I get confused.
It's so crazy. His career, and then he's on Match Game. He's on the Muppet. He's on the Muppet Movie. He's in Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah, he did every. Well, I think he's even said there's a documentary out about him, but I think he just said, "I didn't say no to anything."
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Shatner principle.
Yeah, pretty
much.
Just
say yes to everything and you'll have a career out of it. Like friend of the show, Supergirl Helen Slater, you attended the High School of Performing Arts.
Yes, I did.
The Fame School for people
And for all you people out there that want to know, we did dance on the tables.
How much table dancing did you do?
Oh, I did a lot, girl. Honestly, every once in a while, spontaneously.
Just jump up on the table.
Something like that would happen.
Okay, what kind of projects were you involved in there? Because this is really when the career started to take a focus.
Right. Well, the training at the school, oddly enough, you're not allowed to actually work professionally because they just want you to train. I almost got kicked out my senior year because I ended up getting a job professionally.
It seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, that's exactly what we thought. I mean, I respect it now. I understand it now. But at 17, you can't tell me nothing. but, you know, the training was great. I mean, some of the teachers we had were awesome. And it was great. You know, the first year you're there, they're basically teaching you how to use your instrument, how to be you. And just, you know, be you on stage. And then as the years progress, you know, they teach you more about character. And how to find a character and become a character. And it's just great. And what always floors me is when I think about it, because, you know, this school, these were the best creative artists in New York. We're talking from age 14 to 18. And so I think about it. I was listening to friends of mine in the music department play Charlie Mingus charts at the age of 14, you know, playing Thelonious Monk at the age of 14. And to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're just playing some Monk.
Wow.
That's nothing.
Where else can you get that?
You know what I mean? And, you know, a lot of folks have gone on to have great careers. And I honestly, I think I will say this on air. Rosalind Shine was my first drama teacher. Loved this woman, like 5 foot one of her. And she was really one of my biggest inspirations. She, you know, I remember at the end, she retired after my class.
Oh, so you just got access to her.
Yeah. And she's like big. Like, I've met people now who are like 10 or 15 years, 20 years older than me, that they were her students. And so it's been beautiful to, you know, meet these people. But she was the one that said to me, you know, right before she left, she was like, Alex, you're gonna make it. You can do this.
What toll did she give you that you carry with you to this day?
One of the first things she ever said to me, she said, whatever someone says to you on that stage, take it personal. That's acting. She taught me to listen and to just be, and it's okay.
Regardless of Broadway stage or a television studio,
yeah,
anything, just feed off what they're giving you.
Yep. And that's the basic rule.
Now, we've seen that in so many of your performances. When you first moved out to LA right after that, what was life like for you?
Woo-wee! That was fun. Wait, hold on. I got to tell you my first job, though.
Okay.
So my first job, so once again, I wasn't supposed to be working, but I was going out on auditions. And my first job was a soap opera called Ryan's Hope.
Oh, that was huge.
Yeah. And it was under five lines, and the studio is, you know, six or seven blocks from my high school. And so I got to school early, and all my boys were like, yeah, Alex, gonna work, Alex, work. So they all walked me, you know, and I remember it was freezing cold, crazy wind chills, walking on the west side by the river. And they walked me to ABC, and they're like, all right, yeah, cool, we'll see you later. And I go inside, I do my thing. And I guess there was a black storyline. And so it was, you know, all us kids were hoodlums, were in an abandoned apartment, you know, and there's a couple over there making out. And I had this huge high top, flat top, you know, and I'm sitting down.
Oh, like a kid and play kind of thing?
Yeah. I'm dating myself. And
No, you're painting the picture, as any good storyteller does.
And I'm sitting there, and, you know, I've got a bag of pills next to me, and I also have a bag of what seems to be cocaine, big old bag of green leafy substance, and I'm reading a magazine like Right On or Fresh, right? And here it is, my first line ever.
Every stereotype being broken.
Man, here it is, my first line ever. Hey, yo, Lyndon, check out this fine mama. And that was my first job.
But you're working.
And I was working.
Alex is working.
Yeah, and then they brought me back a couple episodes later to be shook down by some cops.
Of course they did.
I don't know where he is, man.
Oh, such a different time.
Yeah, and I am forever grateful. Believe it or not.
Alex is working. That's all that mattered. That's a great story. That is a great story. Okay, so you put these lessons in your pocket,
right?
You head out to LA.
Uh huh.
What's life for you? What's life like for you there at that time?
Well, I was 18, and I was away from home, so let's say it got a little crazy. No, it was great. It was fun.
A little crazy on your end, like you.
Well, it was just like, I'm away from home.
Yeah. Well, you go nuts. Yeah, you go a little nuts.
That's what you do. My friends went to college, and I came to LA. I moved to Venice, no less. I said, how far from New York can I get? The ocean.
Yep.
No, it was a great time. I was lucky enough. You know, I had a job here working on a TV show called TV 101. So I had purpose every day, and it, you know, another great experience. In LA, yeah, it's funny. You know, I grew up in New York. I didn't have a driver's license till after I moved out here, so I'd have to take the bus to the studio.
Yeah, because you didn't need a driver's license in New York.
Yeah, and it was funny because I remember at one point the show was airing, and I'm on the bus, and this dude's like, "Yo, ain't you that dude that play on that TV show?" I'm like, "Yes, I am. Excuse me. So this is my stop."
Taking the bus.
Yeah, man, it was great. You know, it was great to be out here.
One of the things that I want to ask you about is, and we talk about these sort of lessons you learned in New York and these things that you're putting in your back pocket. Before we get to the superhero stuff, mm-hmm. I'm really interested in, man, 129 episodes on Becker.
Mm-hmm.
This is an actor's dream to get a gig like this. Jake Malinak?
Yep.
Okay. For those who haven't seen it, look, it's a great character. Becker's a great character. It's a very cool show. Huge challenge for an actor. Becker, played by Ted Danson. We love him from Cheers, but totally opposite character on this. You're his best friend, a man blinded years earlier.
Right.
What preps did you do to take on this role?
All right. You're gonna laugh. Okay. Honestly, I watched Master of the Flying Guillotine.
Master of the Flying Guillotine.
It's one of the best kung fu movies.
Okay, I was gonna say you're gonna have to prep me a little bit on this.
So it's a kung fu movie, and it's about this blind assassin who has a flying guillotine, and he basically throws a guillotine on your head. He chops your head off, and watching him is what I watched.
Wow. I am so totally going to watch Becker in a different light now.
Yeah. And then I watched A Little Scent of a Woman.
Okay. I was going to ask you if Pacino came into it a little bit.
Yeah. Came, hoo-ah! I was a carnival boy! Watched that. And that was what I did for the audition. And then once the job happened, I actually went to the Braille Institute. And I got blind lessons from blind people.
Okay. So did you wear a blindfold?
Uh-huh. I blindfolded, walked around, learned how to navigate things without sight, which was fun. I remember being in the Institute, and here's one of the lessons that you say you put in your back pocket. You know, I was walking, and I was bumping into things, and it was really uncomfortable and getting rather annoying. And someone asked me, how does it feel? And I was like, I'm kind of annoyed, and I'm kind of frustrated right now. And all she said was, welcome.
Oh, wow.
Which was really good. And then I heard blind people snickering. I hear someone's here trying to be blind, which was kind of fun, too. It was a great experience. And then I'd go to the set. As time went on, it got easier. But at first, I'd literally go around the set with my eyes closed, rehearsing with my eyes closed, and then seeing what that felt like, and then doing it with my eyes open.
How do you divorce yourself from engaging with the actor? Because as you mentioned earlier, that's you're feeding off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't. Now you don't have that.
Right.
How do you disengage from that?
Well, it's once again, it's all about listening. Does that make sense?
It does.
As a blind person, so I really have to listen. And I would throw some of the guest cast off sometimes, I think, because I'd rehearse with them and look them in the eyes. While we'd rehearse, so we'd get the basic scene going on.
Because they got to get their lines down.
Yeah, we want it to run smoothly and get the best work we can out of it. But then come time to showtime, the blind would come on.
And when you say that, is that maybe looking off?
Yeah, well.
Or not engaging physically?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different kind of physical engagement, too. It's a little more, what's the word I'm saying? Not clumsy, but it's more...
More like an awkward kind of...
More awkward and
putting
also,
them ill... Well, that probably helped their performance, maybe making them ill at ease.
Yeah, exactly. And, the feeling, too, it's a little lighter on the touch because everything needs to be self-sensitive.
Yeah.
And
Ted Danson gave you a lot to listen to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He didn't shut up.
His lines are just unbelievable. We always say they can never do All in the Family today. Yeah, I think they did it with Becker.
We got close.
I think you got about as close as anybody could get. Amazing show and an amazing character, an amazing job on your part. You ready to talk superheroes?
Sure. Oh, here comes my cat. He's meowing.
What's your cat's name?
Buju.
Buju?
Buju.
Okay.
Yeah. You hungry, boy? Well, suffer like the rest of us. Oh, don't run away, man.
don't scare the cat. Don't put any cucumbers around him.
I kid you.
Apparently, the cats are terrified of cucumbers. I don't know what this phenomenon is all about. 1990, The Flash.
Yes, sir.
Julio Mendez.
Mm-hmm.
Great cast. How did you first find out about the show?
Got the call.
From
the agent. Yeah, there's a show, and there's a show, The Flash, to be a regular on it. And I do remember going, oh, this is cool.
You knew what that was?
Oh, heck yeah.
Well, you a comic book kid?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I have an older brother, 10 years older. He's an artist. And he was his comic book collection was huge. And so I'd steal through his comics. He'd be like, what are you doing? You're ruining them. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And so it was really exciting when this came up. And he loved DC, too.
I was going to ask, is he a DC guy or Marvel guy?
He had one of those, I think he was a DC guy. He dabbled into Marvel. He really loved heavy metal, Vampirella.
Okay.
So he had a bunch of those, which probably shaped my views on some things.
No pun intended. Had you seen Tim Burton's Batman coming into this? Because very heavily influenced by Tim Burton's Batman.
Yeah, I remember seeing it. Yeah, that was right around the same time, too, wasn't it? Yeah,
about a year before. And, I mean, you've got, you know, the look, the comic book theme, the suit, the music by Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
It's coming right out of that.
Yeah, definitely there were some influences.
What were those initial meetings like then?
Did they
give you an understanding of the character? He's not from the comic books.
No.
So how did they explain it to you? Like, okay, we need this. You know, Here's this guy.
Yeah, I think it was just, I don't, you know what? I'll be honest. I don't really remember.
I don't. We were going back a little bit. I mean, it's 25 years plus.
But what I do remember, which I really respected and I still do respect, first off, you know, my character's name's Julio Mendez, of Latin descent, obviously. But I remember the final callbacks. There was an Asian guy. There was a white guy. There was a black guy. There was a Spanish guy. And that really impressed me. The fact that they were just like, we just want the best actor for the job, you know, and by gum, they got him.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Now we say that he's not from the comic books, but he actually made it into one of the comic books. Did you ever get to see the comic book that he made it into?
I've got a copy of that somewhere.
You have it there? Okay.
Yeah, the comic book version of the TV show.
Yep.
Yeah.
The DC special.
And I got to tell you, they messed my face up.
I was going to ask what you thought of the.
I mean, come on.
Apparently, you did not sign off on this.
You know, I mean, what cracked me up the most is that, you know, I had my goatee back then. And then in one panel, I'd have a nice thick goatee. The next panel would be like four strands of hair. You know. And then one panel would look like dreadlocks. The other looked like, you know, Sideshow Bob Afro. Yeah. But hey.
David Williams and Derek Robertson.
That's it.
Have you ever had words with these two?
Not yet, but I think I might now.
Oh, man. It's great. Now, Howard Chaykin, I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned that it was very difficult to write for your character. They're bringing him in. He's changing these things around. He's revamping some scripts. Yeah, he basically said, hey, look, you're the... I don't know what they call it. Is it the viewpoint character? Is the audience surrogate?
Mm-hmm.
How do that's the way I understand it. Like you're us.
Okay.
You're us, and you kind of ask the questions that the audience would ask.
Right.
And he said that it was very difficult to write for your character because he said he wanted to write your character straight.
Mm-hmm.
They, and I'm guessing he meant, I probably should ask him, they, maybe the studio, maybe the, I don't know, they wanted to goofy you up.
Right.
Okay. What was your take on it? And did you have any conversations with the producer? Because there is that, you have a lot of expositional dialogue. You're asking the questions that we would ask.
Right.
But then there's kind of these silly things and you don't know he's the Flash. And yeah.
Right.
What conversations did you have about the character?
Shoot.
Or did you have any?
I don't even remember having conversations. I just remember just doing them and, like, you know, sometimes playing with them to, you know, find some more of the comedy moments within them. In my head, Julio was just, you know, to me, he kind of represented, like, you know, a joie de vivre and naivete that was, I think that's kind of what, for me, I represented as well.
Did they ever discuss Julio finding out that Barry is the Flash? Now, I know there's one episode where we time travel.
Right.
And Julio does get to find out, but it's kind of erased when we travel back. But did they ever talk about that of just like...
Yeah, I think that was going to happen at some point. But, you know, the show got canceled.
Yeah.
The thing about the show getting canceled, too, I remember going, oh, we're just getting the stride just right.
You were. I mean, there's so many good episodes coming in. Yeah. Well, what? When did you get? Because I think there was that thing of will we or won't we be picked up? When did you get the call? Like, we're not doing this.
Oh boy.
And what did you think when you heard we're not doing this?
I'm sure I cried for a while. I probably had a cocktail or two. Yeah, I don't even remember where I was, where we were. It was just one of those. I just remember. Not well, you know what? You always get a feeling of grief and loss when this happens, especially when you think it happens too soon. You know, Becker was the only show where we actually got, okay, at this date, we'll be done. You've done a full run. And so to have something kind of cut off is always a little shocking.
Yeah, especially when there's such an investment on the front end of it. I mean, they're really putting money. I mean, you think about the sets.
Yeah.
The costume. Let's talk about the costume. What I mean, do you, any memorable moments of John in the costume where you were like, this is hilarious?
Every time I saw him in it, that thing was hot. Yeah. And we had a couple of them, and it was funny. You could see there was a utility suit, which you could see was frayed. And then there was like the spanking clean suit.
The utility one, that was for the long shots?
Yeah, for long shots and stunts and stuff. And I'm like, wow, so that's the Flash of suit, huh? It'll toe up.
Yeah, John mentioned just like wringing this thing out.
Yeah, I felt sorry for
sweat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you had the easy gig. You got to sit back and eat.
Yeah, eat and wear loud shirts.
It was the 90s. Yeah, you talk about kid and play haircut, but man, you guys definitely had the loud shirts. And I think John probably gave you a run from your money on those shirts, too.
Good point.
I don't know that Julio had a exclusivity on that. Let's talk about some of these standout Julio-centric episodes. Beat the Clock.
Yeah.
A little bit of jazz coming in. That's probably, a jazz musician about to be executed. You're coming in for this. The great Gloria Rubin, too. Is in this show.
Yeah.
Talk about that episode, some of the memories you have of actually working on some of these episodes. Because, obviously, Julio, John's going to get the lion's share of the work in here.
Right,
but
right.
Julio did have his moments.
Yeah, I remember reading the script going, oh, man, you mean I got to work every day? No, I'm kidding.
You had to show up.
I was like, wait, whoa, you mean I got to be on time? Whoa. Now that was a fun one, with Ken Foray, and Angela Bassett.
That's right. She was in that one too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was, what was really exciting about that one? I'm such a child. I was so excited to actually have a fight scene.
Yes, you did.
Because Ken, if I recall, is about 10 feet taller than me.
Mm-hmm.
And about 5 meters wider than me. So that was really exciting.
Because you're mostly in the lab.
Yeah, yeah.
This time you get to get out and do stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, one of the things I love the most about that show when I did get to get out of the lab was, getting to drive the car. I think I had an Edsel or a Studebaker with a push-button transmission. I mean, it was a dream come true.
They didn't. Yeah, they really spent money on the. I mean, just even talk about the look of from an acting perspective of being on these sets because they were met. Like you guys took over. John was even mentioning this. You guys took over some real estate there.
Oh, yeah, I mean the Warner Brothers backlot. I'm still proud to say that Central City Station is still up in the backlot.
To this day, you go there on the tour, though, you'll see it.
Yeah, and wow. They built that for us, and then. And then I remember watching like ER and I'm like, there's my police station, mm-hmm. But working on that was, it was so much fun. And it was great to, we worked at these great locations on that. I think we shot the jazz club at Marla Gibbs had a jazz club out in Leimert Park. And actually that's where we shot.
Oh, from the Jeffersons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, wow.
Shot there in this beautiful, beautiful location. I'm not going to front. It's always great to see black people dressed up in old 1940s gear.
the show itself is almost has a 40s vibe, but this one definitely has it. This episode in particular. Yeah, you're right.
With Angela, even down to the Billie Holiday flower in her hair.
That had to be. You just had to like almost be fanboy at that point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean,
you know, that's a great thing about working on a show like The Flash. I'm sure people that are working on it now will tell you. That's doing a show like this where it's fantasy is part of the reason you become an actor. You know, yeah. It's part of it. Literally, you get to work and go, wow, I am going to play today. You know, those days when you'd cut school and then, you know, pretend you were all sorts of superheroes.
And then that, you get paid for it.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
That's the cool part. We referenced this one episode. Fast forward. Julio finally finds out Barry is the Flash.
Right.
Great look, by the way, in this episode. You know, the dreads go next level.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was fun about that because I couldn't take those out for like a week. And I remember, I think I was on a lunch break. I was on a lunch break and I went and I visited my best friend at his work.
Oh, you just like took off from the set and just like go hang out.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll be back in a little while.
Oh, man.
He had no idea who I was.
It's a look and a half.
And then he did the double take and laughed for about 20 minutes. I was like, all right, you can stop laughing now.
You guys had to have fun on this one. I mean, this was time travel. This was your characters get to amp it up a little bit.
Yeah. And once again, I'm going back to the cars. I got to drive a garbage truck.
You did. That's right.
That was fun, too. I had to get lessons.
To drive a garbage truck?
Yeah.
Did you actually drive it or was it a stunt person?
No, I drove it. Like, you know, maybe 10, 15 feet, but I drove it.
Not easy.
Yeah, that's right. That was a fun one to do as well.
Oh, it's the Flash and time travel.
Yeah.
Way 25 years ahead of where we are now. And the great Jason Bernard. Did you get to work? I mean, how what was your interaction with him on these episodes?
I was hanging with him when he was on the set.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was one of those, he's just one of those, you know, he was a staple of my childhood. You know, and so to see him and actually meet him, and you know what? As cool as he seems on film, even cooler. Even cooler in person, man, and that voice. You know, one of the sweetest men I've ever had the chance to meet. And it, you know, I'm really blessed. It's like I've been able to meet a lot of people that I looked up to as a child and as a teenager. Oh, heck, as a man. And got to work with him, and he was up there, you know.
It's definitely next level episode. I talked about that with John on the Q&A, where you basically he said everybody ups their game.
Oh yeah,
when Jason's around.
Oh heck yeah, and he you know he had such like nuance and just little things he would do where you're like, oh, did you see how he did that there?
Like a little sides or little ad libs.
Yeah, little sides, little ad libs, little just character thing. You know, I mean, even the fact of him just. Selling how quote unquote old he is. Mm. You know, he just do little things. You're like, he just sold it like you wouldn't believe.
How difficult is that as an actor to not watch the performance, but to interact with the performance?
Well, that's a good one. You know, I find that usually when I'm there, if I'm really committed and I'm into it, I don't really notice that. You know, because it's just part of the world. Does that make sense?
You're able to immerse yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually if I watch something back, I go, oh, wow, look what they did there. But in the moment, I'm right there and I'm with you. You know, as an actor, if you're in the character, it just becomes second nature.
What was the mood on the set with Hamill?
Everybody was a little fanboy. Everyone was a fanboy.
You didn't have him sign anything, did you?
No, I wish I did. You know, it's funny because he ended up doing, I think he did some episodes when I was doing Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
One of my first sessions, he was there, and I was like, hey, how you doing, Mark? He's like, hey, oh, we worked together on The Flash, right? And he's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, maybe one day we'll do something where there are no superheroes involved. I was like, yeah, maybe someday.
I don't know if anybody does Hamill. I think that was dead on. Maybe an Odd Couple. Maybe you guys can do an Odd Couple. Return of the Odd Couple. If the show had been picked up for a second season, what was on your wish list? What would
I think definitely to get in on some of the action. To get in on some of the action, to find out about Barry being the Flash.
I mean, because right there, you know, I could see Julio Jones. Come on, do me a favor. Make a milkshake real quick for me.
He'd abuse it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Oh, that, all right, Barry. Okay, can you do me a favor? Can you go see if this person's doing this? Oh, yeah. I could definitely see Julio just annoying the hell out of Barry.
He would use his powers for irritation.
Yeah.
I think there's like three episodes right there I'd like to see. 25th anniversary recently. Everybody got together. Were you there?
I wasn't able to go.
What happened there? I didn't see you, and I thought maybe you were in the audience, but I'm like, why wouldn't they bring him up on stage?
What had happened was I was set to go. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be genius. And
everybody
then
was there.
I completely forgot I'd committed to a gig with my band that night.
Okay.
So it was one of the, I got to say, I was a little resentful at my band. I was like, yeah, let's play the show. You're like, yeah, this is fun.
Definitely phoned it in that night.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Okay, because that was cool to see everybody together, you know, everybody together again. I apologize. I know we're up against the clock here. Do we have a little bit of time to talk about Nick Fury?
Sure.
Okay, look, from sidekick to superhero. You got to play in the Marvel Sandbox. We talked about this as Nicholas J. Fury.
That's right.
Started off in Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah.
You get a little bit, and then you go into the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. When did you first hear about this gig? Did you have to audition for it, or was it just like, here you go?
Did the audition. It was for Wolverine. And actually, I think my first animation gig.
Yeah, I think this was the beginning of your voiceover
stuff. Yeah, I think that was it. And, you know, it was funny because I remember reading for it and then getting the call that I booked it. And I was like, I got it. and you know, the best direction of all time, Jamie Simone was the director. And he did the subsequent Avengers as well. This is what he said. He said, you're afraid of nothing.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, that's right. That's who this guy is. And I always laugh because, you know, God, I love Sam Jackson. But my take is more Billy D. Williams, so it's more like Lando Fury.
Oh, wow. Okay, interesting. I wanted to ask about this because Iron Man premiered months before. We got a snippet of Samuel Jackson right at the end.
Right.
So you knew he was Fury. I didn't know if that influenced you at all or where you went, but man, that's a great take. I think Iron Man was May of 2008, and I think your episode of Wolverine was February 2009.
Wow. You are good, man.
So I wasn't sure if you sneaked a peek at Sam Jackson or if you knew he was cast. Because Sam Jackson. It's not like you gotta see a Sam Jackson movie to know what he's about.
Exactly.
Great, Billy Dee. So you're going full Empire Strikes Back here.
I'm straight old.
What have we here?
Why Han Solo, you no good. I need to just learn that whole monologue.
Again, I'm going to watch these in a completely different light. Becker, Avengers, I got it. So, all right, a little bit of Billy Dee going on. How familiar were you with the character? Did you have to do a little research? Did you have to tap your brother on the shoulder and get some comic books?
I did a little research. I knew who Nick Fury was.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew who he was and what he was about, and, you know, just Mr. Machiavelli, you know, puppet master.
Yeah.
You know. But I did go online and do a bunch more research and read some comics, etc. You know, but then as I said, once Jamie told me that was it.
Do you project when you're recording? Like, we see Hamill going nuts as the Joker. Like, he acts it out.
Yeah.
Do you do that, or are you sort of middle of the road?
It depends on what the job is. You know, I do find, like, when I was doing Nick, my arms always seem to be crossed. You know, which would help me just get that power.
That authoritative.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you know, and it was also too, depending on what the situation was. I mean, listen, if I'm such a bad mofo, I don't need to raise my voice. So when I do raise my voice, you know I'm mad. You know what I mean? And so it all depends. And then again, if I'm playing a little choo-choo train, I'll probably chug a lug and move my whole body.
You know,
how do you chug a lug behind a mic?
Oh, I can do it, baby.
And what is it? What's the other the LeBrons? Is it?
Uh huh. Oh yeah.
How are you? What are you doing on those recording sessions?
Now with those, I probably am using my body. Oh wow. Yeah, those are always fun. It's funny. I think, you know what I think is happening here? I am stuck in my childhood because everything I want to do, I go to Billy D. Williams. I'm trying to channel my version of Scatman Crothers. Oh yeah. So my next step is to do Eddie Anderson, otherwise known as Rochester.
Rochester.
It's the day off. I want to put that in somewhere. I'm giving you all my secrets.
Oh, this is great. I love talking to voice actors because I'm interested in what they channel.
Yeah.
I'm interested in what they channel because you got to do something. You got to, when you get behind the mic. So,
it's fun too because, I also do, NFL promos.
And I saw when we're watching, there's it.
You watch Game Day Morning.
Game Day Morning on NFL Network, right?
Yeah. And so
we're hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's a lot of fun too.
Give us a little bit of that. give me a little bit of that.
What's happening here on Comic Book Central?
But
I love it.
But what's great too is what I'm really having fun with there is that I'll do all those promos and bumps, and then every once in a while, hey, we want to do something that sounds like old NFL films. Can you do that? And I'm like, oh, come on, let's go.
Oh, the frozen tundra.
Yeah, a raider doing all of that stuff.
Yeah,
it's a blast.
Oh, you got the pipes there.
Oh yeah, I could do it. Let me go smoke another cigarette.
He's taking a shot of bourbon.
Where's my scotch? Somebody give me a drink.
It's Rochester.
It's my day off. Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Don't ruin your voice. You got to save it for Hepcat and also the Lions. Your bands.
Uh-huh.
What's going on here? You're a musician.
Yeah, I got into that.
Where can people see you
and hear you? Wow. Well, you can buy the Lions. A new record called Soul Ride on Stone's Throw Records. Great band, good old 70s style reggae, man.
It's like four albums?
With the Lions?
With the Hepcats and between Hepcats and Lions, four or five albums now?
Yeah, six or seven probably.
Oh, man.
Hepcat, actually, we're gearing up to do some shows. We play every Valentine's Day, so this year we're going up to San Francisco.
Nice.
To play at Slim's. The music, once again, how did this happen? it was literally, I became part of the band, honestly, partially as therapy for acting.
If I gave you a choice, acting or music, pick one.
Acting's my first love.
Okay.
Acting's my first love. I love doing the music. But yeah, acting's...
Okay.
That's my jam, as the kids are saying. that's been a blast, too. I mean, I trip out and I go, wow, I've been able to travel the world because I can sing. Okay.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and it's got to be a crazy outlet.
Yeah, and what's great with Hepcat, we've been doing it. None of us were legal to drink when we started the band. Actually, we were doing, when I was doing The Flash, it was right around when we were starting to get our residencies. And so there'd be times I'd be working on The Flash and I'd be like, I got to be on in half an hour.
We'd be like, I have to show up and eat something.
Yeah, talk about beat the clock. I'd be like, I got a gig in an hour. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And actually, I know there were some times where the band had to play without me. And I told them, just put my headshot up on a microphone. I'll get there when I can get there.
I'll sneak in from behind. This is ska and reggae for Hepcat.
Hepcat is ska and reggae, old school, 1960s style.
Nice.
Great three-part harmonies, horn section, nice groovy beats, a lot of love songs.
And where can we buy this music? Where can we listen to it? Where can we download it?
iTunes, we're all over. Here in LA, Amoeba Records has it. Yeah, iTunes is a great way.
You going to get it up on your website here?
I think so.
Okay. Give us the website.
AlexDesert.com.
Social media. You are on Twitter and you're maxed out for friends on Facebook.
Am I really?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, wow.
You got to get a fan page.
Wow.
You got too many friends.
Wow. Who are all these people? How'd they get in my room?
They're Flash fans.
I got to be honest. I'm not on the Facebook that much.
They are. You are maxed out for friends, my friend. So you need yourself a fan page. You are on Twitter, though. We can follow you on Twitter.
Alex_Desert. Is that how you say it?
I believe it is.
And on Instagram, Alex Desert was here. I think that's my social media savviness right there.
And then, of course, we've got your episodes of The Flash. All are streaming free. I will say it again, for free at CWC.com.
For what?
CWC.com. They are for free. I know you're not getting anything out of that. It's good for us. It's not good for your wallet.
Hey, that's all right. I'll watch them. Actually, my girlfriend has never seen an episode. Maybe I will hunker down and be like, "You're watching this now, woman."
Oh, that's wrong. Yeah, she needs to binge. She needs to binge herself on some Julio here. Look, we just celebrated 25 years of your show, 75 years of the character, The Flash. New show. You're going to be on it. We know that. New movie coming up. Why do you think this character has been so popular for 75 years? My goodness.
Oh, wow. That is a really good question. Oh, wow. Well, I think there's something about the everyman becoming something bigger than he thought he could be, which is endearing, and it gives us hope.
Huge thanks to you for joining me for Flashback February. Our DVRs are anxiously awaiting the return of Julio Mendez or whatever character they're going to put you in. You're going to be back. We know that. We'll DVR. We're going to have to see here. Continued success, my friend. And thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
And it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Wow, what a fantastic way to kick off Flashback, Flash Forward February. Ah, incredibly funny man. Amazingly talented actor. I had a lot of fun during that interview. I hope you had fun listening to it as well. Folks, if you have not seen the original Flash television series, as I mentioned, all the episodes are streaming free at CWC.com. You just go there, you click on it, you watch them, you have fun. They've got a bunch of shows there, too. They've got, not only The Flash, they've got Birds of Prey. We highlighted that here on Comic Book Central. Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles. They're all out there as well. A bunch of shows. Check it out. Check The Flash out. You're going to love it if you haven't seen it already. You're also going to want to check out Alex's website and his social media pages for more information on his upcoming TV and movie projects and also his music that we talked about. I'm going to put all those links in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net. Again, my thanks to Alex for hanging out with me in the lair today to celebrate The Flash and to kickstart Flashback, Flash Forward February. He got this month off to a great start. My thanks to him. As the great Paul Williams once sang, we've only just begun. Much more Flash-tastic goodness headed your way in the weeks ahead. You do not want to miss a moment of it. And you won't miss anything if you subscribe to Comic Book Central and iTunes. For those who have done that, I thank you. For those who have subscribed and left a review, huge thanks for that. Those reviews, they do help to get the show recognized by iTunes. It gets it into the ears of more listeners. That really helps. So if you haven't already, please take a moment to review the show on iTunes. If you don't use iTunes, if you're streaming it from the website or you saw it on Facebook, you can also find the show on Stitcher and Blueberry. They're on those services as well. Of course, all episodes are posted, as I said, on the Facebook page each week, facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork. They're also there on Twitter, @comicbookctrl, where you can retweet the show out, get it out to even more people, #ShareTheLair. Keep Comic Book Central Nation growing. We're 113 countries so far, folks. My goodness, keep it going. That's all due to you. Thank you very much for that. By the way, speaking of getting the word out, a shout out to all those who took to Twitter to try to get Superman the movie Sarah Douglas as a guest on the TV series Supergirl. I brought that very idea up when Sarah joined me on episode 105. We got it started there. She loved the idea. A bunch of folks started tweeting hashtag Sarah Douglas Supergirl out on Twitter. And here's Sarah's response on her own Twitter feed. She writes, "Thank you all for the Supergirl blast yesterday. There has been a response from the production team. Watch this space. Fingers crossed." Honestly, how cool is that? It started right here on Comic Book Central. Got that thing going. So who knows? We might see Sarah Douglas sharing the screen with Melissa Benoist's Maid of Might. Making a difference, making things happen here on Comic Book Central. That's what all of you are doing. Keep it up. They're listening out there. And keep those emails coming in, too. If you've got a favorite Flash episode, current Flash, classic Flash, let me know. If you've got some guest ideas, people have been writing with those. So send them in. My email address, joe@comicbookcentral.net. You can also click that Signal Me tab on the website. I get them there. The website is comicbookcentral.net. Put my virtual mailman, Willie Lumpkin, to work. I want to hear from you. All right, I am completely out of time for today. Got to run, but I won't go far. I will be back because next week on Comic Book Central, Flashback, Flash Forward February continues as I flash back, yeah, all the way back to the 1970s, a time of jammies, Crunchberry cereal, Saturday morning cartoons, specifically Super Friends. That's right, the man who hung out in the Hall of Justice as three of the Super Friends, including the Flash. He's going to be here. He's also the voice of many of your favorite television and movie characters, from Spider-Man, G.I. Joe, even Steven Spielberg's AI, actor Jack Angel. He's going to be here. Until then, stay at one with the Speed Force. Keep reading those comics. Thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 imported license. All the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective holders. He's a sinner, candy-coated. For all his friends, he always seems to be alone. But they love him, Bugsy Malone. A city slicker, he can charm you with a smile and a style all his own. Everybody loves that man, Bugsy Malone.